Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It is Saturday, February 15th, and you have reached another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your host, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, we talk to author Sylvia Hubbard. Tonight, we talk to author Sylvia Hubbard. I'm excited about this show as any other show, and we will talk to Sylvia Hubbard and find out who Sylvia Hubbard is, how many books she's written, what she's got coming up with in the future, and what started her on her writing career and path. But as always, before we start the author interview segment of the show, we talk about this past week. This week with me has been a major stepping stone and learning force this week, you guys. So, as you guys know, I started a new job, new position, and I was excited about my job at first and where I'm at, and, you know, I was gung-ho about it, loving the pay, the atmosphere seemed okay. But after this past week, it's like in my head I got going, you got to be careful what you wish for so fast at a moment. So I'm at a position where it's taking me a lot longer to catch on to systematic issues that I do with my job. So I come from no healthcare background experience of work. Far as being a CNA, yeah, but far as on a computer screen working with different healthcare applications and functions, I come from no experience from that. So, needless to say, that was one of the questions that I asked my supervisor in the interview that I had before I took the position of the job was, how is the system learning it? Is it very analytical? You know, how's the training process? How are things, you know, going to go from me being new and never having any experience in doing healthcare refund billing. So her response was, you know, it's people that's on the team that never had the experience before, and, you know, what, how long it takes to train you, we'll do that. You know, I have no problem with that. You know, we'll get you to where you need to be. Okay, cool. Understood that in the interview process. So I'm thinking that everything that she said at that moment was going to fluctuate as I get to this job, as I've been here with almost 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks Monday. Well, next Friday. I start 3 weeks Monday. It'll be 3 weeks Friday. And I'm thinking, okay, cool. Not so much the case. So this past week, I'm still kind of at point A. And mind you, I just said when I asked her that question in the interview, you know, her whole response, I'm going to give you some time to get the system. We'll learn it. We'll do what we need to do and blah, and go forth from there. But that has not been the case. This week, I'm still at point A from where I was at the first week. And she got kind of a little frustrated on Thursday. And in her process of getting frustrated, she raised her voice at me. And she'd done it at a repeated occasion at that point while I was sitting there trying to listen to the trainer of the group who was also training me too. And here I got her in my other ear yelling because she's upset because I'm not catching on to something I've been working on since week one. So it bothered me to the point that once I clocked out for the day, I said, I'm going to have a conversation with her because I had already had a conversation with her Monday about her tone of voice and how she had came off something that she had done, I believe, the first week. I'd already had a conversation with her about this. She apologized. She said she felt bad. Woo-woo-woo. You know, it was what it was. I accepted it, and I just had to let it roll with the punches with that. But here we go. You're doing it again. You've done it again, so now I'm addressing it with you again. And this is bad because I just started this job, and I'm addressing with you your behavior and actions towards me as your new employee and how you are as a supervisor. Because I've worked in supervisor positions before, and I have never, I don't care if I have to explain something 99,000 times, I have never raised my voice at somebody else that I'm training or in another employee at that, and I've never had a boss to raise their voice at me. It was two jobs I had to that. But I had bosses in the past, I should say, because my boss in the past that raised my voice, that raised her voice at me too. Me and her used to go back and forth because I would let her know, I work for you, but I'm not your child. I give you respect, you give me respect. Like my mama's best friend said, she would tell her supervisor at their job, you put your pants on the same way I do. So I'm putting my pants on the same way you do. And just because you have a title as a supervisor does not give you the right to treat people like any kind of way, especially when I'm new and I'm learning the system. So I brought this to her attention, needless to say, on Thursday when I clocked out. And her response was, well, you know, you're learning this system, and it's taking you a lot longer than, you know, what usual. You have this up and down moment, and, you know, you can't have these up and down moments. I cut her right then and there. I said, let me explain something to you, and not let me ask you this first and foremost. I thought I was in training, so I'm going to have up and down moments. I just started this job a week ago. I'm going to have up and down moments. So what other people may have catched on to before me, they're not going to, because she went on to make mention of that. Well, there's people in the group that, you know, have never had any experience, and you're just making it as an excuse. I cut her again. I said, I'm not these people in this group. I just because such and such called onto it first, that does not mean I'm going to do it. I'm the type of person, and I told this to you on Monday, the type of person that it takes me a couple of times to keep getting something before I get it. So if you have to explain something to me 99,000 times till I get it, that's your job as a manager and a supervisor. But to talk to me like a dog and a kid and to yell at me like you're my teacher back in grade school behind my back when I'm sitting at my desk, we're not going to do that. Because I was at the point where I was going to stand up, take the key card off my lanyard, hand it to her and say, you have a good day, because you're not going to yell at me. And I also overheard, excuse me, people in the group, that there's people that have left before me, and I'm thinking to myself, putting two to two together to make four, this is probably why, because of her attitude.
Nobody's going to take you, treat them any kind of way you think they want to be in your group. And then the guy that's training me that's really close to her, he said, you know, I've made mention to her about her attitude, and she said that she does not try to come off to be that way. And that's what she told me too. But guess what? You're coming off to be that way, and you're not going to get a person that's going to keep taking that from you. You'll get somebody that will blatantly go off on you, and you think you're sitting there red in the face because I can't get a system. You're going to be sitting in your office red in the face because somebody done cussed you out. You know, you can't talk to people like that. You know, I don't know what these supervisors like her get these positions and these titles, because I went on to ask her too when I talked to her Thursday, how long have you been a supervisor? How long have you been managing this team? Or it ain't been that long. I said to myself, I said, that's why. You're overwhelmed and you can't handle pressure. And nobody's going to take that from you, you know? So needless to say, I'm in an environment where I'm not comfortable. So I may be telling y'all pretty soon, I don't want to find something else. Because I tell that to anybody, if you're someplace and you're not comfortable, you're not going to stay, especially a work environment. It's not going to be good for your health. It's not going to be good for you being there. And when you know that supervisor got it out for you, you might as well just start looking and get out of Dodge before Dodge gets rid of you. That's always been my thing. I'm going to get out of Dodge before Dodge get rid of me. And I know people are like, well, you can't give up. You can't do this. And that. Why stay in a toxic situation and you know you don't want to be there? You know you're not going to – you know the supervisor has it out for you. I know she really doesn't want me there, and I don't want to be there either. So my thing is, hey, let's cut ties. But let me find something else before you cut ties with me and I don't have no backup. So that's how I always do everything. I find a backup before I cut ties. I just don't give up. But at that point Thursday, because she was behind me, yelling at me like I was in her elementary grade classroom and she was my teacher, I almost turned around and handed her this key fob and said, you know what, you have a good day. But it probably wouldn't have been a good day. It probably would have been something else. And I would have gave the group something to hear, since you want to be loud about what I'm doing on this computer and what I'm not doing. So needless to say, I'm going into week three. I'm praying that, you know, things go a little bit better. But like I said, I'm at the point, everybody, where I don't want to be there. I'm not happy. And I know that when I'm not in a situation where I'm not happy, I have to leave and move on, because it's not going to be good for me. So just keep a, you know, an ear out for that. I'll keep updating y'all on how my progression goes, because I was excited about this job. I was happy about this job. I'm making way more money than where I was at, and this is something that I want to do. But now we got to this hurdle, this stumbling block, and I'm not comfortable. And when I'm not comfortable, I relieve myself from the situation and I move out the way, because it's not going to get any better. And if she yells at me again, I'm telling you, I'm like that dog that gets kicked three times. I'm a Sagittarian. You cannot raise your voice at a Sagittarian. We are half man, half horse for a reason. And you kicking us like a dog. So that's three strikes. The third time, I'm going to go to HR about you, but I'm also going to let you have it too, because I've already explained to you twice about yelling at me. So here it is. We're going to go with that. So just keep an ear out, and y'all pray for me. Pray for my week to be good. Pray for my supervisor and pray that the system comes a little bit quicker, because I'm understanding what I'm doing, but I'm just not moving fast enough for her. And I don't know what she told her boss. Maybe she told her boss that, you know, he's going to catch on this and that, blah, blah, but that's her fault. With that position, if you really ask me, thinking about it, she should have hired somebody that had experience. In that position, nobody that does not have any experience doing that type of, you know, work should be in that position if you're not going to train them right. Because anybody can get a position and excel in that position if you had no experience in it. But it's all about the training. And these jobs don't want to train no more. They want to give you 2 or 3 days of training and then want to push you out to the dogs. No, you cannot do that to people. At my old job, it was a lady that argued back and forth with the scheduler because she felt overwhelmed because she was pushing her out there too fast. And even though the job was kind of, you know, easier than where I'm at now, what I'm doing with this, I still felt that lady when she was saying, you pushing me out here and I just got here, I just started this week, and you want me to already be out here on my own. I don't feel comfortable. When a person is telling a supervisor that, an employee that's new, they should never have an attitude about you telling them that they feel like they're not ready to get out there or they don't feel comfortable, especially when they just started. That's a reflection of you, because heaven forbid you go to a new job. you start a new position, and you get karma coming in your door, creeping up on you, saying, hey, remember that person that you treated like that at the job you were at where you knew it and they didn't? Let me knock on your door right now. Now you finna steal what they steal. So people have to be mindful how they treat people, supervisors and all, because you never know where you might be in the same situation or position at hand. That's all I'm saying. So, as always, this show is sponsored by Beggars Pizza in Gary, Indiana. They're open till 12 a.m. tonight. Their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. Their number is 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stoney, home of their famous jerk fries. They're open till 1 a.m. tonight. Mickey's is located at 8126 South Stoney Island Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. And their number is 773-902-2800. That's Mickey's on Stoney, my favorite restaurant to eat from on the southeast side of Chicago. They're open till 1 a.m. tonight. And their number is 773-902-2800. And Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois, serving sweets, hot food, and customized treats. Try their weekly good food specials. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And Sunday, they're open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. And their phone number is 708-566-4088. And Pop Culture Popcorn, located of the popcorn of the 50-plus flavors. Try their 50-plus flavors, I should say, of popcorn. They not only have caramel, cheese, butter, they got jerk-flavored popcorn, bubblegum-flavored popcorn. You name it, they got it. Pop Culture Gourmet Popcorn is located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois, located in the Phoenix Plaza off of Houston Street. And their hours of operation are Wednesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. And their number is 708-825-9105. And Layla's Sports Bar and Grill Banquets for your sports watching happy hour drink needs, dancing and bar eating as well. Layla's is open Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., Friday, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday, 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Layla Sports Bar and Grill is located on 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois, and their phone number is 708-414-1088. That's Layla Sports Bar and Grill, located at 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois, and their number is 708-414-1088. This show is dedicated tonight to my number one listener, Miss Audrey Smiles. Hello out there to Audrey Smiles. She's a faithful listener. She listens every Saturday night. And also my sister, who we get her celebration funeral today, Denise Kane. That's why my voice is a little hoarse, because I sung with the choir today. But Denise, we love you. We're going to miss you. But God saw best for you. So I dedicate tonight's show to Denise Kane and my faithful listener, Audrey Smiles. All right. So we got to the point of the show that I love to get to, the main purpose of it, which is the author interview. And as I said, tonight we have the dynamic author Sylvia Hubbard. We're going to get to know Sylvia, talk about the books she's written, what inspired her to write books, and where she's from. So Saturday Spotlight in the listening world, if you called in or if you're listening, let's welcome in author Sylvia Hubbard. Author Sylvia Hubbard, say hello, ma'am. How are you?
Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Congratulations on the job, and I'm sorry it's going so bad. I hope it gets better.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Please keep me in your prayers. Like I said, I was so happy about it, but now it's like kind of sinking ship, and like the ship is sinking, I should say. It's like, wow, you know. But thank you. I appreciate
that. Oh, I hope it does, because, I mean, it sounds like an awesome opportunity.
It was. It really was, Sylvia. It really was. And I jumped to it because it was what I went to school for, what I majored in, and I came from a job that I, you know, was working, but it was not enough pay. So I went into something that, you know, is in my field, and it's like, now it's like, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not comfortable. So, but thank you. Mm. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's talk about you and find out who
okay.
you are. So, all right, Miss Sylvia Hubbard, tell the listening audience who you are, where you're from, and about a little bit about your book.
Well, I am from Detroit, born and raised, and I write romance suspense. I have over 50 independent books available, and I love being a champion of writing and reading. I think everybody needs to read, and everybody has a book in them, so I try to encourage literacy around Metro Detroit, and I have also an organization called Motown Writers Network here in Michigan where we help writers get to their literary goals, and we connect readers to Michigan authors.
Okay, awesome. So you got a lot going on in that area. Okay, okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, so what? So what inspired you? What inspired you to want to write? What inspired you to want to write romance novels at that too?
Well, according to my mom, I've always been a writer since I was six. And but what encouraged me to write romance was I was like 12 and I was in the library and I saw this cover of Fabio on the front of this romance novel and I wanted this book so bad. And the librarian doing her job, of course, wouldn't let a 12-year-old pick up this book, but I did what any other Detroiter would do, so I stole it. So I ended up reading it and loving it, and I wanted to be able to do what this author had done for me. I wanted a person to just walk away and just feel awesome, like I have just been somewhere and back, and it's just amazing. And I just love what, like, the romance story. I love the intrigue. I love the intimacy between two people and how it built and grew, you know, and it was all in my head, and, you know, I could be there. So I said, I want to be able to do that. I want people to see how to fall in love and be in love, even between, you know, just those pages where they just feel like this is really happening.
Okay.
So that's how I pretty much got into romance. But, of course, being from Detroit, we like a little suspense and drama. Can't help it. So, of course, I mixed in that. So
okay.
I usually tell people I like my characters to fall in love, but I also like to kill people. So that's what usually happens.
Well, you got a little bit of both going in there. You got your romance and then making shooting people up and killing them too, huh?
Right.
I ain't mad, Sylvia. Right. I ain't mad. And yes, I know a little bit about the D. My uncle is from the D, and I have some friends from Detroit, so definitely, but, you know, y'all like our sister state, you know, I'm in Chicago, so it's like y'all our sister, you know, city, so it's like, I definitely understand.
Yeah, we that cousin you don't talk about, like, you be like, ooh, yeah.
Right.
Ooh, yeah.
And actually,
like,
when
you know they from Detroit, like, that's supposed to explain everything.
Right, right. And when I actually visited a couple of years ago, it reminded me of being here. And I was like, I feel like I'm at home. Like, it was, you know, I saw the church. Like, we have a church on every corner of the liquor store. I said, am I at home? Because I feel right at home. I'm like, it's just like where I'm from here in Chicago.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, we come to Chicago a lot. So, yeah, we understand. Yeah, it's like going back and forth.
Yeah. And I'm actually supposed to come there for the Hustle and Grind Book Fair in May. I'm supposed to come there for that.
Okay, I'll see you then, because I'm going to be, I won't be a vendor there, but I'll be there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to actually rent a car, and me and my friends are going to come up for that, because Michelle Moore has done it really big this year. They did it really big where they're going to have a lot of people in y'all's city. So I'm definitely going to be there for that. So I hope to see you. I do.
Aw, that'll be awesome. That'll be awesome.
Yeah,
but that's been my journey in terms of being a writer. I've always wanted to write books, but I was kind of like that writer who would get to the good part in the book and be like, oh, maybe I don't want to finish it. And I would never finish a book. And it finally got to the point of when I had my daughter, my first daughter, you know, just kind of looking down at her face for the first time, I decided I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And I'm not going to tell her to follow her dreams and her passions and her goals in life if I'm not doing the same thing, you know. So from that day forward, I told myself I was going to learn how to be a writer and how to write stories and get them out there. And that's what I did in 2000. By 2000, I had published my first book. And I just didn't look back. I just kept going, you know, because I did want my children to see me following my passion and doing what I love and what I was put on this earth for. Because what's the point of being a parent if you can't show your kids, like, what you're good at, you know?
It's just
the best part, because then you're unlocking their potential by them seeing you. You're the key, you know, to unlocking that potential that they have in them. So, you know, every day they saw me be an entrepreneur, a writer, an author, a publisher, a marketer, you know, a networker, you know, and it was what I love to do, you know, and I'm glad that they got to see that.
Oh, okay, and definitely, and you hit a good point there when you said, you know, you can't be an influential, you know, person to your child if you're not still pursuing your own dreams and your goals. So yeah, I definitely support you on that. Definitely, definitely
Thank
hit you,
you
on
yeah.
that. Oh, how many kids do you have? If you don't mind me asking.
So I have I'm just about to publish my 51st book as of February 26th. It'll be my 51st, so I'm excited about that. It's scary excitement.
Did you say 51 books you have?
51, yes.
You've written, is that the correct, am I getting that correct, you've written that amount?
Yes, 51.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God! I'm trying to be like you when I grow up. Wow!
Well, I usually say I'm bad on paper, so I can be good in life. So I want to do a lot of bad things.
And you know what? Nothing's wrong with that, because that's our creative form of expression as authors. So I hear you on that too. When I'm at my computer, I'm doing a lot of bad things and typing stuff. And so I hear you on that. Hey, man, that's a good statement you just made. Wanting to get to be do bad things on paper. Okay. Okay, but I'm definitely trying to be like you with these 51 books. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay. And I mean, I love it. I love doing it. So when you love what you do, I didn't even pay attention to the number. I think until I got to 35, and me and a friend were talking, and you know, she was like, well, because I was telling her about the new book I was working on, and she was like, wait a minute, what about this book, the such and such book you talked to me about, you know, a year ago? I was like, girl, that was like 8 books ago. And she was like, Sylvia, how many books? And I was like, let me think about that, because I really had never just sat down and said, okay, this is how many books. You know, you see your numbers on, you know, Amazon, you know, you go page 1, page 2, page 3. You know, you're like, okay, whatever. But, like, you know, after that, you know, you get the dot, 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 so you don't really see, you know, the whole thing until you're like, okay, let me see how many I got here.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
So it's pretty cool.
How many years?
Yeah.
Okay. So how many years have you been writing?
So since how many years I've been published, I would say since 2000.
Okay.
Because, I mean,
okay.
I officially started, like, really, like, completing books as of 2000. Like, complete it, publish it. Complete it, publish it. Where it was just like, oh, it's just a thought. I'll stop right here. I'll do like two chapters. I'll stop right here. So, you know, I like any other author or writer, I have a whole bunch of story starters. But like just starting to complete books, like I really put my foot down and said, I'm going to do this. And I've been doing it ever since.
Okay. All right. Well, then you go ahead with them 51 books. Like I said, I'm trying to be like you as I progress. I've been writing since 2015, but I'm trying to be like you as I progress. So definitely, that's a man motivator. Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
No problem. So can I know you said Fabio. I'm just gonna throw some names out there. So are you a fan of Beverly Jenkins?
Oh my gosh, he's my hero. Like we just wished her happy birthday, Beverly. Like today is her birthday.
Oh, wow.
Like So we've been wishing her happy birthday. She is my hero. Like and it was so amazing because I actually met her, like, I had skipped going to a college class because I was, like, I was just feeling like, oh, my God, I just want to get, like, my life together. And so I took the bus out to a woman's expo instead, and I literally saw her. I, like, came around the corner, and she was just standing there with all her books around. And it was, like, the first time I ever saw, like, a black romance author. Like, I mean, you hear about it, you know, you say, oh yeah, anybody can do it, but to see that, it just took my breath away. And I mean, she stood there with me for about an hour and just gave me advice about how to do things and everything. I mean, it was just beautiful. And ever since that day, like, I loved her to death.
Oh wow. Yeah, I've read
so
a couple.
Yes.
Okay. I read a couple on the male version side. I had to cut you off. I read a couple on the male version side, and I'm like, okay, cool, you know. But yeah, she really is a good writer, and to know she's your hero, that's a good thing. Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Definitely.
Okay. What about? Yeah. So what about Zane?
Love Zane. I do. I've met her a couple of times when she's come to Detroit, and she's a wonderful writer. She has been an inspiration, especially like because I was kind of like when I started doing a lot of eroticism in my book, I was kind of like, okay, well maybe I shouldn't, because I was like, of course, you know, in Detroit everybody church raised. For a while.
Right.
So it was kind of like, I don't know. And then, like, I was like, you know what? I can get out there. I can do, you know, and still be a suspense writer and still be a romance writer. You can have eroticism in those concepts and everything. So I was like, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. So I'm going to do it. So, yes, I have read her books as well. I read everything.
Okay. Yeah, I was introduced to Zane a couple of years ago reading her books, and it was like, okay, she just, like, brought out that eroticism, and, you know, I just was, like, a fan at that point. I was reading her when I was working at the bank as a teller, so definitely. But your book, your 51 books, ma'am, I'm interested, so I'm going to have to pick one up to read. So what can I expect from picking up one of your books? Like, what am I going to get from that? I know you said I'm going to get the killing and, you know, a little of the romance. But what else is there? Anything else? Because I'm interested, Miss Sylvia, to get one of these books, and I'm going to read it. I definitely am.
Well, bottom line, I love growth. I love a character's growth where they start off at one point and then they end up at a totally different point by the end of the story. Usually I want to improve them in terms of what they want, what they desire, and what they need in life. But sometimes, just like, you know, you're saying, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Right.
But also, God don't take us on journeys that we can't handle. Even if we be like,
sure,
Lord, I don't know why you put me here, why you got me in this situation, and where do I go from here? Because you know, you feel like you have never been given this pop quiz before. You know, it's just thrown at you, and you're like, I need to get a study guide. I need to a pre-practice test. Are you serious? Lord, are you trying to, is this a punk? Are you punking me? So I like to show readers that, you know, this may be a pop quiz, but literally we have been given everything we need in order to pass the test that we've been given. You know, in our dependency on our faith, on just ourselves, we can make it through. And so we just got to keep pushing and see, hey, okay, this door open and this door closed. Well, let me go through the open door and see what happens instead of beating on the closed door and be like, okay, Lord, I know you are on the other side. Just open it up. So I do like to take my characters through a journey. And it's not just the female protagonist that has to go through the journey, but I also like to take my male protagonist into that journey as well, because I was raised by my dad. So a lot of issues and problems that men have that they don't talk about, or their frustrations with, you know, life and love and relationships, a lot of things they don't talk about or they don't reveal, and especially their faults and their weaknesses. So I love taking my male protagonist and just showing people that, you know, even if this guy is hated, he may be a little crazy, he may be a little off, but, you know, crazy people need love too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I used to say, it's usually a meaning behind the madness in everything that, you know, that is human. You know, there's always a meaning behind the madness. And I love digging into the madness. So usually my guy protagonists have something horrible going on when mm-hmm. everything's coming together for the girl. So, yeah, I love that. I love that. Because it takes a lot for a strong man to show his vulnerability. But then it also takes a strong woman to be able to step back and let that man be a man instead of trying to control the situation.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Yes.
So I guess, you will find a lot. You will find a lot more than, you know, it's not just the sex, or it's just not the suspense. It's a human growth factor in terms of the storyline. You're dealing with yourself, you're dealing with your family, and you're dealing with the people around you. They either want to kill you or hate you or really love you or help you. You never know in my story. So that's the fun part.
Yeah, Yes. So you're getting all that after in one. Cool. Yeah. Definitely. I like a good page turner, Miss Sylvia. I love a good page turner. I say after 50 pages, if it's not good, you got to throw it against the wall. And I try to perfect myself as the author to make my stories go be good, because people be like, you know, I want to steal a nab, blah, blah, you know, and everybody's not going to like you, you know. But, you know, I try to keep, I don't know if you do the same, but I try to keep the flow going, because I kind of get a little writer's block too at times, and it's like, okay. And that's leading to my question for you too. Have you ever overcame any writer's block?
Well, I don't believe in writer's block. I know that it happens. Like, I'll get to a point in a story that says, hey, I can't see any further than where I am. I know I need to leap across this big ocean of a scene, but I don't know how to get her to that point in the story. So I kind of like rely on my research. And then I talk to myself a lot in my car.
Okay.
So I usually end up figuring out the problem, because usually you make a promise. I go back. What I usually do to answer that question is I go back to the original promise I made to the reader. So whatever I originally intended for the reader to get out of this book, then I go back and say, well, how can I get her to fulfill that promise?
Okay.
And then I can write around that. So say that, you know, hey, I get to a point and she has to go through this warehouse and it's filled with all this crap, but I don't know what kind of warehouse. I don't know how it looks. I'm just like, okay, let's just work on the dialogue. I know when she gets in there, she got to talk to this guy. So I'll maybe put in bold, she's walking through the warehouse. It's like this and this and this, and then just jump to the dialogue. And then when I come back on my second draft, I'll fill it all in, because by that time I've researched how I want the warehouse to look, what's inside of it, you know, because she may need a weapon. So I'm like, okay, well, she got to pick up something on the way, you know, so I'll work it out the second time around. But I usually leave like a block in my story or bold in really big caps, find the dress she needs to wear, or look out for houses, or look up poison.
But you get
yeah. Right, you're getting to the point and you're moving forward, you know, because if you stay down on the ground, you get ran over. So you want to keep moving forward, and you don't want to derail the momentum that you already have. So especially when it's few and far between, when you get a chance to sit down and really write, you know, and you have to use those precious moments to, okay, get something done. Let me at least get to the next chapter. Let me get to the next scene. So I try to utilize that time productively. If I can't figure out what dress she wears, okay, red dress. Okay, let's go. Okay, she had a 22. I'll go into whatever kind of, was it a Ruger, a Glock, or something. I don't know right now. It's a gun. Let's go. You know, so, yeah, we get caught up. I think that when they say the devil is in the details, it's a way to stop us from getting to where we need to be. And we need to just say, hey, let's just move forward and come back to that later.
True, true. Okay.
So that's how I just handle writer's block. So that's how I do it.
Right. And I definitely took notes from you, because I'm experiencing that a little bit with my fifth book, and it's taking me a little bit longer to get it out. My editor is on me like, okay, when am I going to be editing soon? Because you didn't have this book for a year and a half now, and you're done with school,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you all should have been in this book. But I've experienced it a little bit, Sylvia, but I just took a little bit of notes from you. So I'm definitely going to use that as I'm typing in my computer. Let me research things and just go from there. That was a good point. So I'm definitely going to utilize that for myself.
Yeah, definitely. That research really helped, because one of my books was called Beautiful, and she was actually a DNA researcher, and she spliced DNA. So I had to, like, go and learn how to splice DNA. But it kind of helped to get her through the lingo and things that I needed to do in order to explain, like, how her research got stolen. Who would have stolen her research? Like, how would they have known how important it was? You know, because some people don't know about DNA splicing.
Right.
So it couldn't have been right. Carl at the corner at the party store. We know, you know, it's somebody who was close to her who knew how valuable it was. So, you know, that kind of helped me see, okay, who really is the antagonist in this, and who really is the villain in this, and is the antagonist and the villain the same thing? And sometimes it's not. And I think we get caught up in, like, what people tell us how our story is supposed to be, instead of depending on how we need to have this story and staying true to our character. That's the
mm-hmm.
best thing I can tell you. Usually when writer's block happen, it's because the writer wants to do what the writer wants to do, but is not being true to the character. So you're trying to manipulate someone that you created. Now you know how God feels.
Yes. I feel that too. I was doing that. I've been doing that. So you said something right there. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been
you
doing
have to stay true to your characters, and you have to become who they are and do what they would do in the situation. Because, like, my recent book, Black's Innocence, which is about to come out, Tyler, the male protagonist, he automatically says cruel things. It just pops out of his mouth. And even when he's fallen in love, he has this tendency to say something sarcastic and horrible. you know. Now, mm-hmm. here I had to stop writing because the female character, okay, should she still be getting upset or should she just walk out of this relationship and say, you're not going to talk to me like that? So they had to come
right.
to a compromise on how to keep Tyler, because he's going to be who he is. People are going to be who they are. How you fall in love with them is how you choose to fall in love with them. And even though I wanted to manipulate him and make him into a softie, there's no way to make him into a softie because then he wouldn't
right.
be true to himself.
True.
So, yeah, a lot That's of times writer's block happens because we want to manipulate the story instead of letting the story go on its own.
So, yes, yes, ma'am. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Trust
like I said,
the
I've
story.
Been doing that.
Okay. Trust the process. Trust the story. Trust that you have the talents and ability to be able to create, you know, and stay with this until the end. And sometimes the ride is better than trying to control the journey, you know.
Mm.
And just go with the flow. Just let it happen. You know, say, see where this goes. And go from there.
Okay. And I'm just jotting this down because I'm, like I said, I'm going to apply all this. And definitely possibly when I get off the call with you for this interview. But I got you just gave me some really good points, Miss Sylvia. Thank you. Like I said, I've been going through it, and I'm, like, trying to figure out, you know, how to overcome that because I haven't had this book for a minute, my editor ready for it. But you, yes, it has been me trying to turn these characters into something that they're not.
Right. And sometimes it's fun to just keep them as they are, you know. It's just fun because the reader fell in love with them from the beginning. So why change?
Right. Right. True. Definitely true. Definitely true. So tell us a little bit about this book you're working on now that's coming out. What's the name of it and what is it about?
Okay, so it is Black's Innocence, and it's basically about Lauren, who has prepared herself to have the perfect life. She has kept herself a virgin. She's like 31 because she wants to be the first, you know, she wants her husband to be the first man. She has saved all her money to have the most beautiful wedding you could ever dream of. She's bought the car, the house. I mean, she's paid for the picket fence dream. And she's going to marry this lawyer. So she's planned to have the perfect life after this, like no holds barred, you know. That is until she meets her husband-to-be best friend, Tyler Black, and he decides to destroy everything she has planned. So she planned for the perfect life, but nobody prepared her for him. So, and that's the whole concept, is Tyler is trying to destroy everything she's ever dreamed about, and she doesn't know why. She doesn't know what she did to him or anything, and it becomes a whole huge mess that she finds herself involved in and doesn't know how to get out of.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Yeah, and then on top of that, she ends up falling for him, so that just makes it even worse.
Right. So he's messing up her life, and now she's in a fall for him. Wow. Yeah, that's have to
you
check
know,
that out.
Sometimes
yeah.
you can't resist the bad boys. Can't resist the bad boys. Or the evil ones, or the crazy ones.
right. So when does this drop, Sylvia? When does it drop?
This will drop February 26th. So you guys will have to, you can read through the leap year day and then drop all those reviews March 1st. So, bam, I set it up perfectly for you.
There you go.
And actually, the Black family, I have a standalone family. So I have several books about the Black family. So Tyler is one of the last of the family members, so they're all standalone, and they all act the same. They all have a little crazy in them. So that just makes it even, you know, better to know you have cousins that are just as crazy as you are. So it was fun.
Right.
It's fun.
And is this like a series?
No, it's like a series, but they're all standalone. They're pretty much all standalone stories.
Okay, cool. And is anything, what events or things are coming up for you this year?
So this year, I'm doing like a whole bunch of book talks, but I'll actually be in Ohio in March for the Lay on Me Books Festival. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then in Florida, I'll be in Florida in April for the Interracial Authors Expo.
Okay.
And then in August, I'll be at the mystery murder kind of mayhem event. So you can always check out all of those big events on my website at sylviahubbard.com. And then locally, I'll be doing a lot of events at local libraries here and around Michigan. I'm doing workshops and book talks about all the books I've written, I guess, and how to do it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're pretty busy this year. Cool.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy. And sharing the information is important to me because, you know, I ate dirt, you know, I don't feel other authors need to be eating dirt either because it don't taste good. So
right.
I like to be able to help others, you know, succeed because, I mean, I can ride your coattails if you do, and then if you don't, we can learn together, you know? So
True. I just
feel everyone has a chance to be great, and if I have a chance to help you be great, then that looks good on me when I get ready to go to heaven, so.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I decided to create this platform, too, for, you know, authors. My brother, all the brothers and sisters like you and others that get out, because people don't really, you know sometimes who we really are and us indie writers, and that's what spoken on my heart to create this show.
That's awesome. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much, too. So tell us, where can we find your books, your social media handles? Just tell us where the people can find you at.
So they can always go to my website at sylviahubbard.com. And if they're interested in my organization, MotownWriters.com, they can find out more information there and subscribe to the blog so you can get updates. And then all my books are available wherever books are sold, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, iBooks, even Google Play. You can pull it up right now on every Android device in the world and get books from there. You can also find, I have exclusive reads right on my website and that you can only purchase on my website. So they're exclusive books. I always call them The Dark Side of Sylvia. So you got to be grown to be reading those.
Oh, okay. Grown. Check you out.
And I'm always open on any social media. I love Facebook. I have a readers group there, plus the writers group is there. I have a couple of Facebook pages, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I have instructional videos and plus a little bit about what I'm writing or how I'm writing or what I'm not writing when I should be writing.
Okay.
So, yep,
awesome.
So you can find me anywhere. Just like one girl was like, girl, I just Google you. And that's what I say, Google me. I'm going to wear a big old shirt.
Right.
Just Google me.
I ain't mad. I want back to get that shirt once upon a time, Google. You go ahead.
It was so funny because when I met my husband, I didn't tell him anything about being a writer or anything. It was just kind of like I wanted to be Sylvia, you know, with him.
Uh-huh.
So, like, we had been dating for about 3 weeks, and a friend of his at work just said, why don't you just Google her? And he did, and he was like, who are you?
Wow, see? You never know how you're going to see the right. Who's out there?
I was like, oh, I got to explain some things. But it felt good being Sylvia sometimes. Sometimes it's just nice to, you know, somebody just to know you as you, you know.
Right. Right. Before they get to know who you really are. Right. Before you really are.
Right.
Definitely.
And by then,
definitely.
He had fallen in love, so he wasn't going nowhere, so.
Right. See?
So that was kind of cool.
Yes. Cool. All right. Well, Miss Sylvia Hubbard, I thank you for coming on the show tonight. Thank you for sharing with us who you are. I look forward to having you on again. I hope your Valentine's Day was good from the hubby yesterday. And I hope to see you at Hustle and Grind when I come in May, too.
Oh, definitely. I will be there because I'm using a new camera. So I'm trying to make sure I get lots of pictures of the literary scene in Detroit. So that's kind of what one of my signature events I want to be taking pictures at.
Okay, cool. So let me go on and share these pounds.
Yeah, I'll follow you around so you can have really good pictures with the authors. So I'll just follow you around.
Okay, so now I got to go get in shape and lose this weight because you're taking pictures. I got to get this weight off that film. Yes, you take a picture.
Just turn sideways. You turn sideways and bend your leg. You're almost skinny. Almost skinny.
Or wear all black, right. All right, Sylvia. Well, I definitely had fun tonight. I hope to have you on the show again as well. Thank you for coming on. And I hope you have a good rest of your weekend too, okay?
You too. You have a great day. And thanks for what you do. You're awesome and honored.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We had on author Sylvia Hubbard. Go and check her out. Her name on Facebook is Sylvia Hubbard, and I believe it's Hula. Let me get that for you guys. It is author Sylvia Hubbard. Hutula, I think. I'm sorry if I'm saying that right, Sylvia. Don't get me. But it's spelled Hutula. So she's Sylvia Hubbard /Hutula. And she's on Facebook. She's on Amazon. She's on, I believe, Goodreads. She has a website. So check her out. She has 51 books, 51 romance novels. And I look forward to running into her at the Hustle and Grind in May. I'll be at the Hustle and Grind in May. So I hope to see her and see those. I guess she's taking pictures, so I got to lose weight in that, y'all. Next week on the Saturday Spotlight, we have, let me see here. Let me go see drum roll, please. Who do we have next week? Next week, we have author Nabby Robbins. Everybody knows who author Nabby Robbins is. Nabby is a graphic designer, author. He does so much for the literary world. We will talk to him next week on the Saturday Spotlight. I hope you guys have a good week. I hope you guys had a good yesterday, Valentine's Day. And if you were single like me, just love yourself. Love yourself. There's so much that's going on. Just like I said, with the situation with me and my job, just keep me prayed up. There's so much been going on. We've been losing people since 2020 stepped in here. Let's just keep a positive mind frame. And let's just keep that, you know, trouble don't last always is what I want to say. So let's just every day is a different day. Have a different, you know, good mindset about it. Don't never keep your head down. Always keep your head high in everything you do. And as always, as I say, only what you do for Christ will last. And we will next week on the Saturday Spotlight with author Nabby Robbins. Have a good rest of your week, everybody. And have a good rest of your weekend, I say. And have a good week coming up. And I'll see you next Saturday on the Saturday Spotlight.
Preview. Preview.